Time now to take a look through the international newspapers. Leo McGuinn joins us for that. Leo, we're going to go back to our top story to start with. That news, the US President Donald Trump is saying he wants the US to take over the Gaza Strip. How is that being covered by the papers? Let's start with the Middle East.
Well, I'll start with Al Akbar Eve, which is a Lebanese paper with close ties to Hezbollah. After announcing his intention to clean out Gaza a few days ago, the US president is persisting, opening a new chapter in the war, according to the paper's front page. They refer to the maximum pressure being applied by Washington to encourage the displacement of Gazans. Al Had, which is a Jordanian daily, describes Donald Trump's statements as a total surprise, especially when he says that he's considering transforming Gaza into a Middle Eastern Riviera. This is the Middle East Eye, which is a London-based but Qatari-backed newspaper. They report that Jordan is ready to declare war on Israel in the event that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu attempts to forcibly expel Palestinians into its territory. It comes after Trump said that he would like to see Jordan and Egypt take in Palestinians. There's a similar tone in Arab News, which is a Saudi-backed publication. The Saudi foreign minister reiterating their position that Palestinians must have their own independent state, and that was not open to negotiation. Ashaq Al-Awsat, another Saudi daily, has this, saying they're not surprised by his statements insofar as Trump indicated as soon as he arrived in the White House that he would soon take over Panama, then Canada, and the rest would follow. The paper says that for Trump, the planet is nothing but real estate, countries, homelands, and historical identities being nothing but a myth for the US president.
So what are reactions like in the United States?
Well, this is the Washington Post. They tell us that once the Palestinians are evicted, Trump said that he loves the idea of the US owning the Gaza Strip. According to this, the sun will never set on Trump's colonial empire, Greenland, Panama, Canada, and now, of course, Gaza as well. This article ends with Trump's comment that he thinks that the potential in the Gaza Strip is unbelievable, just not for Palestinians, this piece points out. In Israel, Haaretz talk of Netanyahu being handed a political lifeline. The PM can return to Israel with credibility that he can dangle in front of his far-right coalition partners. This piece also points out the irony of Trump talking about Gaza having become hell while standing next to Netanyahu. It begs the question, who exactly does Trump think that made every building in Gaza uninhabitable and therefore responsible for the required displacement? Sticking in Israel with the Jerusalem Post, they report that Trump told the paper that Jordan and Egypt won't tell him no when they're asked to house refugees, despite the fact that both countries have made it very clear that they won't be doing so. I'll finish with Ynet, which is Israel's most read news site. They report that actually this plan from Trump isn't new. Senior Israeli officials have been considering a plan to encourage migration of Gazans to a third country for months. But according to this, that third country is neither Egypt nor Jordan.
Okay, interesting to see what country they might be thinking of. Let's move away, though, Leo, from the Middle East. There's a few other articles you've picked up on, notably one about Google and artificial intelligence.
This is in Wired magazine this morning, reporting the news that Google have lifted a ban on using its AI for weapons and surveillance. They've rewritten the principles guiding its use of AI, specifically getting rid of a section which ruled out uses that were likely to cause harm. Google have defended the move by saying that there's a need for companies to serve national security interests. This piece notes that it's evident that the relationship between the US Defense Department and tech sectors continue to get closer, with AI and robotics increasingly important to US military. Well, that's kind of scary article, so let's move on to one that's a little bit more uplifting. This in The Guardian this morning, an AI granny designed to drive scammers wild. Daisy, as the bot is known, is created to combat fraud, actually created by UK telecoms company O2. Because of her dithering and inquiries about whether they like cups of tea, the criminals end up furious and frustrated. Over a few weeks, Daisy wasted each fraudster's time up to 40 minutes when they could otherwise have been scamming real people. One example of Daisy's technique: when a scammer tried to take control of her computer, the bot delayed by talking about how she usually just uses it for knitting patterns and recipes for scones. So AI can definitely still be used for good. Long live Daisy, I say.
Indeed. And Leo, you finish with a sportsman's birthday.
Cristiano Ronaldo turns 40 today, still going strong. He's on the front of many newspapers today, especially in Portugal. This is O Jogo, which is a Portuguese daily. The king's birthday they have on the front page. A Bola, another Portuguese daily, have a similar headline: the day the king celebrates his birthday. They're all telling us that it's the king's birthday, but Lionel Messi's birthday isn't until June, so maybe they just got a little bit confused. This is L'Equipe, which is France's biggest sports paper. They also have Ronaldo on the front page this morning, and they actually have a full two-page spread on the superstar, his unbelievable career that, of course, started in Lisbon, made in Manchester and excelled in Madrid before going to Turin, back to Manchester and finally now Saudi, where he now plays. They talk about his aims going forward, a few things he wants to achieve that he hasn't yet. He wants to become the first man in history to score 1,000 official career goals. As improbable as that sounds, he scored 923, so he's only 77 away. He also wants to play in next year's World Cup. That would be his sixth. It would make him the second oldest outfield player ever at 41 years old. Another aim: to play professionally with his son, unsurprisingly named Cristiano Jr. He's in the youth team, but he's only 14 years old, so it's hard to see that happens. But 2024 was the year that we saw LeBron James play with his son, so who knows? Cristiano Senior and Junior, maybe next. Maybe if Cristiano keeps on going until he's 45, and it's not impossible. He's still going strong at 40. So
it definitely looks at Asher 40 is the new 30, isn't it, Leo? Thanks a lot for that look at the international papers. Time